Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Johnson Wealth and Income Management and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Johnson Wealth and Income Management is a franchisee of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
What kind of a retirement plan allows millions of people to lose 30 to 50% of their life savings just as they near retirement?
It's a society based on freedom and choice and personal responsibility. There are no guarantees.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to provide lifetime income.
Lifetime income.
And now to our story.
Welcome to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson, powered by the Retirement Income Store and brought to you by Johnson Wealth and Income Management. Are you living the life you want? Are you prepared for retirement as you believe you should be? What are your goals for retirement and how are you going to reach them? In the next 30 minutes of today's program, let's explore the principles necessary to live the capitalized life and the retirement of your dreams. Now, here's this week's Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with your host, Matthew Johnson.
And welcome to this episode of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source. Located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, how are you today? Hope you're doing well, taking a little bit of time for yourself. Maybe you're kind of recovering from a long week of work. Maybe you're taking and recovering from a long week of play. It's hard to say. Sometimes we go on vacation and we need a vacation when we get home from the vacation. So we all know what that is like. Well, today we're going to be discussing the stock market, taking a look at what's been happening over the course of the last 5 months, and asking this big question: is the market starting to turn a little bubblicious? That's right. Is it starting to get a little too frothy? Is there the potential of a pullback? Is there some things on the horizon that might show us that we are in for maybe a little bit of volatility? We're going to be covering all of that and more in discussion of the market and what the fundamentals that we need to keep our eyes on really are. Now, before we get into today's program, I really want to just say a word of thanks. Thank you to every single one of you that has gone out and purchased my book, The Capitalized Retirement and Life. And thank you even more if you've taken the time to leave reviews. I've been reading the reviews on Amazon and on the online major bookseller websites, and I'm absolutely gratified. I also encourage you, get a copy of this book, not only for yourself, but also for friends, for family. And in fact, let's do this. At the end of today's radio show, I'm going to give a copy. In fact, let's give 5 copies of this book, The Capitalized Retirement and Life, away to the first 5 callers. So you hear this radio program, you call in. The number is simple, 866-290-3837, 866-290-3837. I'll leave this number at the end of the radio show today. But you call in and say, I heard Matthew, in the first 5 callers, we will send you a book at no cost. The Capitalized Retirement and Life. Well, let's get into it. When we look at the various different stock markets, we know that we've got the tech-laden NASDAQ. We've got the Dow Jones, which is the Dow Jones Industrial, comprised of 30 companies. And then we've got the S&P 500. Man, the S&P has been on a rip roar. It is producing and showing us now that the first quarter of the year is over, the strongest first quarter since 2019. When we kind of peel back the curtain and we look at all of the various different companies and corporations within the S&P 500, what we're seeing is that over 118 of the 500 have now peaked at their highest level in 3 years. When you think about that, that is extremely profound. We've got a absolute turnaround taking place in the stock market. Good Friday came And we had numbers that showed us that the headline PCE had risen by 30 basis points. We looked at the core inflation. And remember, core, that's the one that the Federal Reserve looks at. It strips out all of the food. It strips out the energy. And what they saw is that inflation had fallen just a little from 2.9% down to 2.8%. And the Feds obviously are extremely pleased with that, but not so pleased that they're ready to do a rate cut yet. They said that they're just fine leaving interest rates where they are for the fifth meeting straight. And so what we're looking at is we're still looking forward as a economy, as a stock market, to the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates. But we don't know when. We just know that they say verbally that they're still on pace to have at least 2 to 3 rate cuts. Now, when we look at what's been happening in the market, we know that early on, the early stages of the stock market going up was primarily because of the expectations of the Fed's cutting interest rates. And there was many, many people, many economists, many pundits of the stock market that said, even back in the last quarter of 2023, that the Federal Reserve was going to start cutting interest rates by March of this year. And what we've seen is that that has not happened. Now, I've been teaching clients, or at least taking and suggesting to clients, that I don't believe that that's even a remote possibility, that we're going to be seeing rate cuts in the first quarter of this year. We need to kind of set our expectations. The rate cuts will likely occur, but it's probably not going to be until at least the end of the second, maybe even the beginning of the third quarter of this year. And the reason being is that we've got to realize that the stock market is expecting interest rates to come down, but we also know what happens when interest rates go down. When interest rates come down, we know that that means it's cheaper to borrow money. And if it's cheaper to borrow money, that means that individuals, you and me and your next door neighbor, even corporations are then going to borrow money. And what happens when you borrow money? You don't go to the bank and borrow money and then stick it in the bank account. You borrow that money in order to buy something. And so the Federal Reserve is here to say, listen, we don't want a resurgence of inflation. We don't want to go back to where we came from. We've worked really, really hard taking interest rates and raising those interest rates in order to be able to contract the economy, in order to bring the growth of the economy into check, in order to be able to raise some unemployment, in order to be able to get people to tighten their belt just a little bit, to slow down on the spending. And the last thing that this Federal Reserve wants is for inflation to start disobeying again. They don't want it behaving badly. They don't want inflation going back up, because what if the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates and they've done it prematurely, and then all of a sudden inflation starts to spike back up? That would be a terrible thing, because then the Federal Reserve would have to do what with interest rates? That's right. They would have to then go back and they would have to raise rates. And remember, they've already been the whipping boy for not acting soon enough and allowing this inflation to get out of control, to go all the way to 9.7%. So the Feds don't want that to happen again, so they're going to be especially cautious. This is a reason why one of the Feds just recently came out and said there's no rush to cut interest rates. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts about the stock market? What are your thoughts? Are you thinking it's going to be an extremely steady eddy, or do you think it's going to be more of a Debbie Downer? I want to remind each and every one of you, you have a resource. If you have a question that you've just been dying to try to get an answer on, you can always go to my website, which is johnsonwim.com, as in wealthincomemanagement.com. Just a wealth of information there. You can listen to past episodes of this radio show, as well as my weekly YouTube videos, as well as white papers. But you can also go to the dedicated radio show podcast website, which is capitalizedlife.com. Well, I have some thoughts that I'd like to share with you, some things maybe, for lack of better terms, just to consider, just to think about, just to maybe mull around in your mind and just kind of ruminate on these things. The first thing is, we need to understand that there is a technological facet to today's stock market. What I mean by that is this. So much of investing today has now become automated. It's now become technical. And so when we think about all of the various trillions of dollars that are invested in the stock market through all the various different retirement plans, we have to understand, even if you're an employee and you're working for an employer and you've got your 401k or maybe you've got your 403b, realize that in many of those instances, the custodian that you have your 401k with is going to give you an opportunity to rebalance. Now, what is the most common time frame in order for portfolios to be rebalanced? Well, if you said quarterly, you're absolutely correct. And so we want to be thinking about the fact that we could be seeing in the month of April a little bit of correction, especially early on in the beginning parts of April. We're going to see probably some asset adjustments, various asset classes being adjusted and experiencing a little bit of gyration. And the reason for that, or at least part of the reason, could be simply because of rebalancing of portfolios. Now, we also want to take into account the big three. When we think about markets and we think about how frothy this market has become over the course of the last 5 months, is it really frothy? Is it really showing signs of a bubble? In fact, maybe we should even ask the question, what are the predictors? What are the signs of a likely pullback within the market? Well, I think historically, if we go back, we can identify at least three and maybe even a bonus fourth one. And the first one is going to be rising unemployment. When we see a sharp and drastic rise in unemployment, that is, generally speaking, a precursor to a declining market, to some sort of a retracement. And of course, we're not looking at 1 or 2%. We're talking about the retracements that actually are quite tangible. They're sizable. We're talking 10%. Now, where are we? Well, if we've been watching and paying attention to unemployment numbers, we know that right now, our employment numbers are quite strong. In fact, the latest unemployment numbers just came out, actually a little below estimate at 210,000. So we have pretty strong job numbers. Number two precursor is a rise in bond yields. So there's some reasons for this. If we think about rising bond yields, we have to remember that bond yields are going to be opposite to bond prices. So when bond prices go down, that means that yields go up. So we look back at October of 2023, let's say that was a terrible month for the stock market, and we saw interest rates, we saw yields in bonds go all the way to 5%. Now, what has been happening since October is actually a declining yield. That means that today, that same 10-year government bond is no longer yielding 5%. Now it's yielding 4.2%. But we have seen this phenomenon time and time again, where when the stock market gets really super hot, when it gets really attractive, people start pulling money away from bonds, things that are a little bit safer, and they start putting them more into the equities. And the good news is we're not really seeing that. We're still seeing a lot of people that are kind of hedging their bets, holding on to quality, and they're not fleeing to that sizzle of the stock market yet. Number three is going to be some sort of global foreign shock. And this is something that, of course, it's more of a black swan event, something that we can't really predict. Now, sit tight, because when we come back, we're going to talk about bonus item number four, the precursor to a potential bubble exploding within the market. You won't want to miss this.
This is the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
Thanks for listening to today's program. We're talking about our income-first investment approach that generates renewable streams of income to help pay for your retirement expenses. It also helps preserve and grow your investment principal over the long term. It's a sound long-term investment strategy that eliminates the need to rely on the 4% withdrawal rule. Our clients are earning interest and dividends, and they are not withdrawing principal, which is really the only way for them to know that their retirement savings will last a lifetime. To accomplish this, we avoid mutual funds and instead we focus on individual income-generating securities that can be customized and actively managed for specific client investment needs. To learn more about our income-first approach, reach out to our show today.
Call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. Or visit johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com.
Welcome back to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
And welcome back to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. If you're just joining our program, welcome aboard. Today we're talking about, is the market getting a little too bubblicious? Is it getting to that point where we may see some bubbles that are beginning to form, some things that maybe we need to be paying attention to? Or do we just go ahead and say, you know what, the coast is clear, at least for the near future? Do we continue to invest heavily in equities so that we can pay attention to getting rewarded for being at this party? Well, in the first half of the program, we discussed there's really three profound precursors to a bubble occurring within the stock market, at least historically. Those that would preempt a 10% retracement, a 10% pullback, to say it differently, a 10% loss. And these are things that can occur either individually or they can come as a combined approach. So the first thing that we looked at was a rise in unemployment. And right now we seem to have a pretty thriving economy. It's pretty strong. We have to admit, despite all of the 11 rate increases that we have seen by the Federal Reserve. And so that would not appear to be anything that we have on the horizon just yet. Number two is the rise in yields on bonds. When we look specifically at the 10-year Treasury, we know that in October, when the market was falling like a rock, it seemed as though, well, the yields of the government bonds were doing really, really well. We saw yields go all the way to 5% for a 10-year treasury. And that was a pretty hefty yield coming out of a 10-year government bond. Well, today, we're not seeing that. Today, we're seeing the yield down to 4.2%. And though it is true, we probably have quite a bit of money that is fleeing the quality and going into things that are more risk-on, like equities. We're not seeing people go bonkers, not just yet. So number three, do you remember what number three was? That's right. Number three was some kind of global foreign shock. And this is something that, well, let's face it, we can't necessarily predict this. We don't know if somebody's going to push a big red button. We don't know if there's going to be some sort of financial fallout that occurs across the pond. But the reality is that when things like this occur, this can be then spreading very quickly like a contagion to many other really developed stock markets. And thankfully, we're not seeing any of that, or at least the indications that we're going to be having that. But I promised you number four, as a bonus to try to see if you can put two and two together, is it time for us to start to maybe trim what we've got in the market? Number four is a significant increase in IPOs. What is an IPO? An IPO is an initial public offering. And here's the reality. IPOs can be awfully exciting. IPOs can be one of those things that can be awfully devastating as well. So there's a company, you really like the company, you've been following the company for a long time, and that company decides that they are going to go public. They're going to create stock and they're going to start trading their stock on the stock exchange. That's an exciting time for that company, and it's also an exciting time for us if we like that company and we see value in investing and buying their stock. But here's the thing. How many IPOs are too many IPOs? You see, when you start to see the number of IPOs drastically increase, that is an exciting time, no doubt, but it's also one of those, well, it's one of those things that you don't like to see a lot of. Because when you see a sharp spike in the number of IPOs hitting the market, that many, many times can be a precursor to a stock market bubble, things going south. Now, let's give a little context. In the first quarter of 2024, we have seen 30 IPOs across the market. Now, is 30 a lot? The answer is no. When we go back in time and we look historically at, say, 1999, just before the dot-com bubble, boy, oh boy, we had 476 IPOs that hit the market in 1999. When we think back just a few years ago to 2021, before the real correction started manipulating downward with the Fed's raising interest rates, we had 311. So even if the initial public offerings were to quadruple, they were to go from 30 to, say, 120, even if they did that, and it is possible, well, I still don't think that the IPOs are giving us much of an indication that we're creating too much of a bubble. We're probably safe, in other words. But the reality is that no matter what, no matter what kind of a market you're in, if you're within even 5 years of retirement, I want you to ask yourself if you're really willing to risk everything that you've worked so hard to save for retirement to the stock market. If the answer is no, then I want to hopefully take the last remaining moments of this radio show and remind you of the fundamentals. Now, if you've been listening to this radio show for some time and you've got a burning question, I encourage you, go to our website, johnsonwim.com, as in wealthincomemanagement.com, where you will be able to email us whatever questions that you have. If you send us a question and it's something that I know that I can explicitly answer for you and I can help give you a little bit of guidance, I'm willing to do that. So go ahead, go to our website, johnsonwim.com, and you'll be able to see previous radio shows. You'll be able to see TV interviews as well as our weekly YouTube videos that I record each week. And you'll be able to reach out to us personally. When you're getting ready to make that transition from the accumulation stage of your life to the distribution stage, what does that look like? Well, the reality is this, that we have to go back to a very often covered topic and an equation within this radio show. That's the equation of total return. What is total return? Well, aside from being something that you and I both want, total return is comprised of not just one component, but two. In other words, TR equals I plus G. Now, unless you're driving, I encourage you to write this down. Total return equals income plus growth. And you see, during moments of optimism, moments like what we're living in right now, we want to be optimistic. We finally get the optimism that we deserve. It's been a long haul, right? And things are moving up and we want to be on that bandwagon. We want to be riding that thing to the top if we possibly can. But we have to remember something. We have to remember what's coming. What's coming is retirement. And retirement is the distribution stage of your life. That's the time of your life in which you need income. And you see, when you focus only on the G, you've got to do three things right. And if you can, write this down. I encourage you to keep this at the forefront of your mind. When you're investing for growth, you've got to do three things right. Number one, you've got to buy it right. Number two, it has to go up in value, right? You have to buy it right, and it has to go up in value. What's number three? And this is a big one. Focus on this It needs to be sold at the right time. When you think about it, you have to do three things right in order to make a gain, right? You have to buy it right. You have to hold it for the right period of time, and it has to go up in value. And then you have to sell it in order to pocket a profit. And the reality is, when you're in the distribution stage of your life, that's a lot of have-tos. That is a lot of have-tos. And not only that, but it comes with some additional downsides. Because if you were paying attention, what you just witnessed is that you have to end up selling that asset in order to buy another asset. So in other words, let's say that you want to buy a vacation home. Let's say you want to buy a new car. Let's say that you decided that you want to take an extended vacation somewhere for a month or two. You want a snowbird. You want to go and travel Europe. Well, you're going to end up having to sell assets using the growth or using the assets that you own that hopefully have grown in order to make those things come to fruition. And the problem is that once you've sold them, they're gone. And you see, this is what leads to the demise of so many retirees today, where they have drank the Kool-Aid from so many financial advisors, so many institutions that say focus on the growth. And you see, this is why I take you back to the basics of that equation. Total return, getting the entire package, is not just growth. It's income plus growth. Is it okay that you have money in the market? Absolutely. Is it okay that you have money in things that have the potential to grow? Absolutely. But let me ask you a question. Do you want to have to sell those things if they've done well and are doing well just in order for you to be able to satisfy a need in a different area of your life in retirement? Do you want to be responsible for the timing of the liquidation of that asset? That's a lot of stress. So you see, when we go back to the fundamentals of the equation, total return equals income plus growth, not only do I consider it to be safer, I consider it to be a lot less stressful. Because let's look at it. Let's say that you've figured out how much income you need. You figured out how much your Social Security is. You figured out how much your pension is. And you know how much you've worked hard to save. And you say, okay, is it possible that I can draw, say, a net 5% from my retirement assets? And if you're invested properly, I'm going to tell you that that's very possible. But think about the work that it takes to collect income. You ready? Here it is. You buy it, and then you set back, and you watch the growth part of your portfolio grow, while the other part of your portfolio, you set back and you collect your dividend income. Doesn't that sound a lot less stressful? Doesn't that sound a lot more prudent? Doesn't that sound like an enjoyable retirement? You see, this is what's possible. This is what prompted me to write the book, The Capitalized Retirement and Life. Because if you can get your finances in order, if you can get your portfolio to align with your retirement desires, what you want, now you own an income-producing machine, something that you can collect income from every single month for the rest of your life without having to cannibalize your principal, without having to stress about if you're going to have enough, if you saved enough. That's what a successful retirement is all about, having more income than you need. So back to my promise. The first five callers will receive that book absolutely free. All we need is some basic information. Call 866-290-3837. I'll repeat it again. 866-290-3837. And I will send you my book, The Capitalized Retirement and Life, free of charge. Well, once again, that's a wrap. So remember, it's up to you to make today a great day. I'm Matthew Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. Make it a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. To schedule 15 minutes with Matthew off the air, call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. We will be back again next week at this same time for another Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.